Numbers and Tech Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. Numbers and Tech Podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom-branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide-format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Every entrepreneur has a story. Listen to women discuss the financial side of their business, both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Welcome back. This is Melissa Shane with the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Today's guest is Gigi Rupp. Gigi wants to live in a world filled with successful business owners. I love that first line. Books that come bundled with skincare items. Love that too. And a force field around her keyboard that repels sticky-fingered children. Welcome, Gigi.
Thank you.
I'm going to read a little bit of your intro here and share more about you so that our audience can learn a little bit more if they're not familiar with you already. As an entrepreneur with more than 13 years of experience, she has successfully operated over eight businesses, including the premier parenting resource website, East Idaho Moms. She is an international speaker and successful writer, often published in English and Spanish on East Idaho Moms, is a regular contributor to Idaho Falls Magazine, and has been featured on the international platform Love What Matters. Her passion project of East Idaho Moms was recently voted Best Local Blog by East Idaho voters. Congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
So when Gigi's not writing or reading, you can find her empowering her circle of friends, napping whenever possible, or contemplating changing her name to anything but Mom. Her first book working title is The Power of Selfishness, is slated for release sometime in the next decade. I like not backing yourself into a corner there.
No, I know what's up.
She is an extroverted introvert, and as such, is equally excited to share herself with the world, followed by a strict 24-hour rest after. So is that where you're going to be for the next 24 hours?
Yes, I will be hidden in a campsite of Quaker Hills, hopefully away from wildlife and children.
Sounds wonderful. And Gigi's here in Boise for, I take it, the next day or two. Mm-hmm. So I snagged her to come in, and I thank you very much for coming in, and I cannot wait to hear all you have to share with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And so you just popped over from the zoo.
Yes.
It's a hot day here in Boise.
It is. It was a lot of fun, though. A lot of animals were kind of in the shade, and so you could see them standing still.
Nice, nice. So now you get to come in for a little while and be away from all the children?
All the wildlife.
Both human and animal.
Yes.
So I read your introduction, but you want to give us a little bit more of kind of your background in regards to both training, education, and eight businesses?
Sure. So I graduated from University of North Carolina and went on to get my master's in English. I am not a native English speaker, but was raised in the United States after my parents immigrated when I was 2 years old from Mexico City. And as such, I am a learned English speaker, and I think I understand the language in ways that native speakers sometimes don't. And because of that, English and writing have always just been something that are very exciting for me, And they also just make sense. I have a brain that just processes words. You give me numbers and they just, they get jumbled up. You know, that's something that you enjoy.
So we complement each other well.
Yes.
That's why I'm in numbers.
You do the numbers and I'll do the words and it's perfect. And after that, I have gone into several managerial roles, which generally led to ownership positions, and have moved a lot. And so oftentimes I found myself in a business situation that I could quickly turn around and sell after essentially duplicating the processes that I was using. And that has been a large mm-hmm. part of my success, is that anything that I can do can generally be replicated by somebody else.
So you kind of found out what worked.
Yes. Yes.
And then continue to use that, or.
And I love that, because I think a lot of times in leadership, we are so focused on what can I bring to the table, what makes me unique. And in my situation, I found, how can I make those things in a way that other people can repeat? And so I was able to quickly do a turnaround, usually turnkey, and just walk away until I found a really, really good fit within okay. East Idaho Moms. And I don't think that this will be one that I am going to turnkey sell at any time soon.
I like that. So you've kind of worked your way in and out of many different businesses, but now found one that feels comfortable for you.
Yes. I read in a book recently, and I hate to misquote an author, but it was it was one of the great, you know, ladies of our generation. It was Rachel Hollis or Glennon Doyle or mm-hmm. Brené Brown that said, you know, she finally just had to realize that the community she had built was the community she had always dreamed of having. And I realized that the reason I didn't have a community was because I didn't get up off my ass and build one. And so at East Idaho Moms, that's what we've done. We are cultivating the community and that village and that tribe that we're all seeking. We are finally just getting up and just building it. Mm-hmm. And it feels so much more like a passion project than an actual business. And I think that that's the dream for a lot of business owners, is to work within their passion.
How long has East Idaho Moms been a business?
So we launched in 2018 as okay. Idaho Falls Moms Blog. I launched on the original team with our founder. And about a year later, when she was ready to move back to full-time employment and go back to teaching full-time, I purchased the business from her.
Okay.
Similar situation mm-hmm. to what I've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with it. We rebranded to East Idaho Moms to be more inclusive to a larger area that Idaho Falls truly serves.
Okay.
And we have been East Idaho Moms for a little bit over a year now.
All right.
With the same business model, same mission and vision, several of the same contributors that we've had since our launch.
So for listeners, if they haven't visited this website yet, what kind of information would they find out there?
So East Idaho Moms encompasses the stories and opinions of 20 plus mothers parenting in East Idaho. So we range anywhere from the Twin Falls area out kind of to the borders, really, but our furthest mom out has been in St. Anthony, Idaho. And these are mothers that are in all stages of parenting. So we have moms that are pregnant right now. We have a mom who just had her first grandbaby. We have moms who have adopted their children and moms who were adopted themselves. We've experienced loss. We've experienced tragedy. We've experienced the joys of motherhood. I don't know for sure, but I can almost guarantee one of our moms at least has had a kid that potty trained in 72 hours. I mean, we have experienced the full range of emotions and we're writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all different women from a diverse background that are just writing about their parenting experience as it pertains to East Idaho. A lot of times we're getting parenting advice or parenting stories that are coming out of areas like Philly or LA or Chicago. And while they're generally insightful and just pleasant to read another mother's story, they just aren't relevant to the culture that we live in East Idaho. And so on the website side, on the blog side, we started as just providing voices for those mothers. From there, we grew to be more of a community. And our unofficial mission statement is, let's bring back the village. So we're doing face-to-face playdates every week. We have a quarterly book club, a monthly mom's night out. Mm-hmm. several different partnerships within the community just as a way to bring women back together, not just on screen. So that's what we're doing, and we are growing. Our community is growing, and the more we get out there, the more that we realize that mothers really do want to make friends and to bring that village back.
And I like that local aspect. I can agree. We're such a large country, and we do have quirks and preferences and trends that are very local and not just national. So I do think that's, you're fulfilling a need that these larger cities just can't provide to the local community.
Thank you. On the business side of it, it's really interesting that we can leverage the relationship that we've already built with our community of moms to work with businesses to share what it is that they're doing in a way that is very authentic and is very genuine. We only work with partners that we feel comfortable recommending to our friends. For example, when I find a pair of black leggings that aren't see-through, that don't rip the first time I scrape my knee playing with a toddler, I tell my friends about them the same way that at East Idaho Moms, when we find a business that we're excited about, when we trust a hospital or a pediatrician or a children's shoe brand, we can very genuinely tell our 11,000 mom friends on Instagram, check out this brand, versus a more scripted or inauthentic advertising platform.
So you've got that website, and then you're working on a book?
I am.
How did that come about?
I have a very interesting story. It's the story of parents who immigrated to the United States. It's growing up an immigrant's daughter. When I purchased my home in Idaho Falls, it was the 43rd time I had moved.
Wow. 43.
Yes. It's just know that I'll be there for a while if I have anything to do with it. I'm not leaving until the house falls down around me.
This is it.
Yes, this is where I die in this home. But I have experienced a lot in my short years, and I can't say that I'm handling it all well. I can't say that I'm handling it all proactively. I am actively in therapy, and we are dissecting a lot of the pieces of my childhood that have molded me in healthy and unhealthy ways into the wonderful woman that I am now. But I have so many stories. I mean, and I could sit here with you, Melissa, for days and days and days and share stories. But instead of doing that, I'm going to put it in a book. And the book will be a culmination of all that I've learned and the way that I have learned to be selfish.
And well, I can't wait to read this book. I hope it's done by the end of the decade.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people hope, including me, that it is done by the end of the decade. But
do
that is the current goal.
Do you find it kind of therapeutic to be writing this, or is it opening up old wounds?
A little bit of both. There are some parts of my life that it's very rewarding, and I feel very accomplished to finally be able to nail down words and feelings associated with certain things that have happened throughout my life. And there are other parts that as I start to write about them, I'm texting my therapist going, we might need an extra meeting this week. I've just learned something new. Something has come up, and we should probably work through this together. I trust her professionally a lot more than I trust my spiraling trauma brain.
Okay. And I know when we were having our last conversation, you said a phrase that I loved, but it also caused me to pause, and I definitely wanted you to talk about it as much as you want to talk about it in this year, like looking from side to side, but you said the anti-hustle.
Yes.
And I know there's all these, you know, your side hustle, or you got to keep hustling, and of course that term's been around for decades, but really in the last 5 years, it's kind of become like this badge of honor to not only have whether you're 9 to 5 and a side hustle or multiple hustles. And you were like, no, I am anti-hustle. And I actually love that. But can you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Sure. So in 2014, I started a direct sales business with Young Living Essential Oils. And I think at the time I was seeking not only a more natural alternative to my lifestyle, but also a community. And that provided both. I am still involved with Young Living Essential Oils. I love them as a company. I love the products. And at that time, it was before social media became a platform for sales. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, you really were doing parties or calling every family member in your phone to try to sell them whatever you were selling. And this was one of the first times that women had just authentically started sharing their stories with products, whether it was essential oils or what later turned into what we now know as the social media selling platform and what we now look at as influencers. But before that happened fully as a movement, we just started talking about our stories on social media. You know, I remember sharing a picture of my kids holding up a bottle of Peace and Calming and Valor and saying, "Nap time sponsored by," because it was the first time that both of my kids had slept at the same time during the day. And that very quickly led me down a path of hustle. Really, it was this movement of you got to hustle. You have to prioritize. And I think it was John Acuff that said, you have seasons. And so I said, this is my season of hustle. And I was up 18 hours a day. I wasn't as attentive to my children as I probably could have been. Of course, their needs were met, but I wasn't down on the floor playing with them. I was on a laptop hustling. And, you know, as much as it hurts to admit this, and of course there were outside factors, but my marriage at the time crumbled due to this amount of hustle that I was doing to put into my business. And it paid off in a small way financially, but ultimately I ended that marriage. My children missed out on some years of their younger lives being able to bond with me, and I missed out on making memories with them. And so as the movement continued to grow and I saw all of these women hustling and this almost cultural shift that was, we all just have to work all the time. You have to work and do the things that you don't want to do until you can do the things that you want to do. And I just totally misquoted that. I think it might have been Oprah Winfrey, sorry. but just this culture of you don't eat, you don't sleep, you don't pee alone, you just take care of kids and then you work all night long and then you don't feed yourself. And one day you will get to a point in your life where you can take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going for that one day where I can take care of myself and my family and my kids. I want to live for today. Mm-hmm. You know, that one day isn't promised. And I have painfully had to sit back and watch so many people near and dear to me that are hustling in a way that is damaging their families, their children, their own mental health, their physical health. And I have to constantly remind people that that's not necessary. Mm-hmm. That if you really want something, you can still get there 2 months later and that dream will still be fulfilled and you can still sleep at night. You can still take that vacation with your family. You can still sit down and read that extra bedtime story. You can still take a bath today. And I think as women, we are often juggling so much that we feel like we have to be those hustlers in order to be successful. And I just don't think that's the case.
Was there a specific event that made you have this realization? Was it your divorce, or did it just kind of happen over time because of so many missed opportunities with your family and friends, or you getting burnout, or kind of how did you have this revelation? And then also, how did you act on it? Like, how do you implement that? I agree with you wholeheartedly. Sometimes I think just recognizing the problem is certainly step one, but how do you handle it in true day-to-day fashion?
So I think the biggest thing that happened is I hit a larger rank within the company of Young Living Essential Oils. And when you do that, they used to send you this large, like thousands of dollars worth of essential oils in a kit. And so now you had your own premier collection of essential oils. And I remember shortly after my husband had moved out, and I think it was like a week or two after our divorce finalized, that I got this box in the mail with all of these essential oils, and I didn't have anybody in the home to share them with. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anybody that could sit down and say, look at what I did. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the first time that I was like, wow, look at all these essential oils I got to replace my family and husband. Oh. And while I'm grateful for that mm-hmm. opportunity, and I am grateful for, you know, the team members that helped get me there, that really bolstered me through the emotional hardships of a divorce, and knowing that I really needed that paycheck increase in order to be able to support my children moving forward after my split, that was the first time that I went, oh my gosh, like, is this worth everything that I just lost?
And that's such an image, like I can immediately in my mind picture that.
You know, you open up this beautiful case of really smelly essential oils, because they don't, I mean, they smell like dirt and pizza, okay? They are not all that great. And to open it and recognize that this is what you threw a marriage and a family away for. Mm-hmm. And I say that, of course, and it sounds very crass. Of course, I still have a relationship with my children. They're actually probably sitting in the car outside with my husband. And I still have a good relationship with my ex-husband. But it was just that very visual realization mm-hmm. that this is what it had cost. And so from there, I went on a journey of self-discovery and bought, I think, every personal development book out there. And I really had to learn to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I'm very passionate about now. And so in the day-to-day, I have to constantly set those boundaries. And a lot of people think boundaries are very external and very, I have to say no to that person, I have to say no to that thing. For me, I have to say no to myself a lot. I have to say, no, you don't actually want to do that. No, that does sound fun, but you don't have time to take that project on. No, that business does seem really intriguing, but you are not in a position to take on that amount of time commitment. And so for me, it's just those day-to-day boundaries that I'm setting that make it so that my business doesn't continue to get in the way of my mental health, physical health, family health, and all of the things that I truly value. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing, was having to identify my core values so that I could say yes to those versus, hey, I want money, or hey, I want that trip to Costa Rica that the company's promising. Mm-hmm. And once I aligned with what my core values were, it was a lot simpler for me to say no to those external things mm-hmm. in order to just say yes to my core values.
And I think that was one other thing I heard you say one time, like, everything you say yes to, when someone comes to you and says, can you do this? You may say yes to them, but what's the list that you're saying no to mm-hmm. because of all those yeses? And I think that's an important thing to consider every time you do get asked a question. What do you think, as time goes on in your career, like, what have been the biggest obstacles you feel you faced? I feel like you got an English degree for being a non-English born speaker, which that's quite an accomplishment. So I feel like communication is one of those things that you excel at. But has there been another obstacle, or what do you think's been the struggle? Has it been the balance?
You know, honestly, my biggest obstacle and my biggest barrier has been myself.
Oh.
And that mental health struggle. And mm-hmm. I think we mentioned imposter syndrome and that mm-hmm. feeling of, why should I be doing this? Why do I deserve these nice things? Who wants to listen to me and what I have to say? Mm-hmm. And in most of these situations, that has been what has stopped me from being successful, whether it was in business or in friendships or relationships. It's generally that, why me? I'm not good enough for this. Everybody's mm-hmm. going to look at me and know that I'm just an immigrant's daughter that grew up on the East Coast, bouncing from apartment to apartment. And I mean, I still battle versions of that now as a mother. Why would anybody listen to me? Why would anybody read our blog or our parenting resource? How are we the premier parenting resource when I just freaked out at my kid at the zoo? You know, why is anybody looking to me like I'm some sort of super mom when I wake up and I wish that they would just go away sometimes? And I think that we battle that a lot as business owners. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that has been the biggest barrier, is just getting over my own negative self-talk.
So even with all your successes, that's still there in the back of your mind always.
Absolutely.
Until you confront that, it doesn't go away with just becoming more and more outwardly successful. It's always there.
And I think that even some of the more successful people that you talk to, that we read from, that we hear from, will tell you that those voices, that imposter syndrome, it's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to just be able to have tools in place to say, I'm feeling XYZ. And for example, in my situation, I utilize a tool of having a mirror, a friend that's a mirror. And I can say, I'm feeling XYZ. I'm not feeling good enough. I'm not feeling smart enough. I'm feeling underqualified. And I have a friend that says, I understand that you're feeling these things, but let me tell you what I see. Mm-hmm. I think that you're mm-hmm. intelligent and brilliant and all of these wonderful things. And so she's able to set those thoughts aside in a way that I am not sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just about finding what works for you and finding those tools so that you can get out of your own way.
Sure, sure. Have you, through the course of either your education or your professions, had a mentor that you've, you know, been able to bounce ideas off as, not a family member, but more a mentor, someone, you know, that's a little bit more removed from you?
I have not professionally
okay.
even pursued a mentor.
Uh-huh.
I read a lot of books.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I feel like Brené Brown is my best friend, and she just doesn't know it. But because I'm listening to them often read their own works, I have felt a friendship in my own mind form with a lot of these really powerful women that have gotten me through some dark spots without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And I ask a lot of my guests that about a mentor, because it seems to be quite, there either seems to be this world, this community that's still very mentor driven, which some ways I feel like, I hate to say it, it's a little old school, but it's a wonderful thought and a beautiful idea. But with moving and changing professions and life being busy, having that one or two people that you can go to, they're just as busy as you are. So I do think with the proliferation of books and podcasts and stuff, that oftentimes I think our mentor do become these other sources when we need them also. So I like that.
I think that generationally, we are moving towards a more individualized approach to business as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 9-to-5, the white picket fence that used to be the American dream, I think is beautiful for some. But mm-hmm. I think there are others of us that are saying, you know, I think my dream's a little bit different than that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we can start to look to all of these wonderful resources available via books or podcasts or YouTube or whatever it may be to find our own way to make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as we start to find that and we're nitpicking, you know, the little two or three things that we want to pull from each book or each speaker that we hear, I think that we're finding a lot of value in that versus just what does one person teach me?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's what has worked for me, although the idea of mentorship and individual one-on-one work does sound very appealing. There's only so much I can glean from just one mentor versus mm-hmm. the hundreds of thousands of people worldwide that are willing to share their knowledge
mm-hmm.
that can be helpful to us as business owners.
Right. And I think it's important for us to realize too, so that we're not idolizing certain people. There's not one person that's going to be able to answer all your questions or concerns. So by having all these options, we can get different perspectives and everyone else's strengths. Hence going back to your village.
Yes.
It takes a village. Time. How do you do all this? How do you attempt to do all this, let me say? Or how do you try and structure your days, your weeks, your family, your work?
I don't.
Okay.
That's just really, mm-hmm. it's all organized chaos. Mm-hmm. And I have to just tell myself it all gets done. Okay. It may not be pretty. It may not be graceful, but it all gets done. I have a solid support system. I have a very good group of strong women that I work with within East Idaho Moms that carry the business in a way that I could absolutely not do on my own. And as a business owner, I think that's the biggest mistake I've made in many of my different ventures is to try to do it all alone. Mm-hmm. And this time I'm not.
How did you go about finding these women that you were each a good fit for each other?
You know, I think in my situation, it may not apply to most businesses because what we're doing is so passion driven. This passion to build community and cultivate this village of women that can hold each other up. And I don't know that you can do an open call for accounting friends that can come together and really build up people's books. I mean, I don't know that I can provide advice as to what might work for somebody else. But for us, it was just about asking.
Okay.
And just saying, what do you like to do? What would you like to do? How can we teach you to do that? Okay, now you're doing it. Bye. And I vary between being a micromanager or a non-manager at all. And so I call it empowerment, but I think it's just that I know that I have to take things off my plate. So as soon as somebody can do it well enough in what we do, we just send them on their way and say, hey, you're in charge of this now. This is your baby. Love it, raise it, cultivate it. Let me know what I can do to help you. Mm-hmm. And that has been really successful in that we have a group of women that all just have their moving piece that they keep moving, and it's working.
Well, I think that's a different approach also for you to just simply ask others, what is it you like to do? What is it you would want to do? What do you have time to do? Because oftentimes, you know, it's the old fashioned help wanted. You tell people what your needs are and then they apply. You've kind of reversed the tables. So maybe then you are getting those people that are very interested, as you call it, a passion project. And so that's a good spin to put on it.
Thank you. We bring on writers on a volunteer basis. Mm-hmm. And generally, once a writer is on the team and needs arise, I can say, who really likes this? Is there anybody that would be interested in editing or graphic design or social media? Or, hey, I think you'd be really great at events. Mm-hmm. You say you want to meet more moms. Would you like to be in charge of play dates? And then these women are saying, yes, I would love to meet more people. How can I do that? Well, you're in charge of our weekly play date now, so you're welcome. And congratulations, you are it. And it's about just empowering them to say, I trust you to do this, and then setting them free, and then taking it off my mental to-do list because now I know that I'm trusting a solid woman to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. What if any of our listeners are either one, entrepreneurs at the moment or considering taking on a different type of role or opening a business or taking over a business, are there any key activities or key resources or just any general advice you find that entrepreneurs find helpful or you wish someone had told you early on?
I wish that somebody would have told me that it is okay to be selfish.
Okay.
And that it is okay to prioritize myself and my family.
Mm-hmm.
I am a much better leader when I am taken care of. But when I am sleep deprived and I am stressed and I have so much on my plate, it's really difficult for me to be able to lead other people. And oftentimes that leads to mistakes in the workplace. That means to things that may make me seem lazy or distracted when really I'm just exhausted. And I think that so many entrepreneurs go into that mindset of I have to do it all and I have to say yes to everything. And we fall into that people-pleasing space. And I wish that somebody had just told me, I mean, I wish somebody had told me in my early 20s, before I was really pursuing too many businesses, hey, it's okay to sleep. It's okay to eat. It's okay to go out with your friends once in a while. Mm-hmm. Because I was late 20s before I started taking care of myself. And I look at the woman I've become now. And I could have changed the world by now if I would have been able to go back and just rest and take care of myself, and the difference I could have made for other people by being present would have just been a tremendous difference. So for all of those out there pursuing business or in business, let me be, if hopefully not the first, to tell you, like, sleep, rest, spend time with yourself, your family, your loved ones. Take your dog for that extra walk just because he likes it. You know, do the things that bring you joy, because that joy radiates to the other people that you're working with.
And the one thing that's interesting is how whenever we hear the word selfish, I think oftentimes we cringe, because you're even told that as a child, share, don't be selfish. And really, when you think of what does the word selfish even mean, why does the word selfish, yes, there are extreme circumstances where, yes, it's being selfish, but it's also, like you said, taking care of yourself and your needs. Why do we have such a negative connotation just on the word selfish? It's almost to the point that I don't even like that word anymore, because I'm like, wait, doing all those things to me isn't selfish, but wait, what's the definition of selfish? So we kind of run around in this circle of, we need to come up with a different word for that. And I know there's this word self-care, and even people get sensitive over the word self-care, because they're like, once again, why is just getting 8 hours sleep considered self-care? Isn't that, shouldn't that be standard?
I think, and I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a writer and I'm a blogger. The Power of Selfishness is a very clickbait title, and I get that. But really, selfishness does not have to be a bad word.
Right.
I am not ashamed to say that I am selfish, and what that means to me is that I get my sleep. If my baby wakes up crying at night, of course I will help him if necessary. But if my kids can get up and pour their own bowl of cereal now that they're 10 and 8, I might sleep that extra 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And what selfishness means is that I say, no, I'm not watching Cocomelon for another 16 hours. I'm done. Or no, we're not going to the pool today because mom just won't watch you in the water, when mom could sit at home and read a book instead. Mm-hmm. Or even with partners or businesses, thank you so much for thinking of me, but I won't be attending that. Mm-hmm. And as women, I think it's ingrained in us to be yes people, mm-hmm. and to please and to be people pleasers and say, yes, 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 I would love to, when at the end of the day, we would not love to. And we're perceived as selfish, or sometimes as bitchy, mm-hmm. for setting our boundaries and mm-hmm. saying no. And I want to just eradicate that. We can say no, just no, period.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to give a reason.
No, we should not apologize for taking care of ourselves first.
Well, thank you for sharing all this wisdom and ideas and thoughts. I know every time I hear from you, it always gives me pause, and I have to think, because I do like the spin you put on it. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So we're getting ready to wrap up, but I want to do this, the fun part.
For
the,
you.
The final 10 questions, because I love people's responses, because I get a different perspective of you, and maybe not the business side all the time. So I'm just going to throw out these 10 questions, and please just say whatever comes to your mind. There's no right or wrong.
I have to tell you that you said you would do this, and I said, okay, I'm going to study those the entire 4 hours to Boise, and I did not.
All right. Oh, so, it makes me even happier.
Brace yourself.
All right. We're ready.
Okay.
Number one, what's your idea of perfect happiness?
Freedom.
When and where were you the happiest?
I don't think I've gotten there yet.
Okay. Which living person do you admire the most?
I think they're all dead. I didn't just kill anybody. I think they're all dead.
Okay. What's your latest extravagance?
I booked a trip to Miami.
Which talent would you most like to have?
I want my singing voice back.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
My children.
What's your greatest regret?
I don't have any.
All right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I'm drawing a complete blank.
Maybe would you want to be that singer?
No, that sounds awful.
Would that be the profession you would not like to attempt?
No, you said farmer the other day, and that is stuck in my head. It's sturdy and manual and very difficult. Oh, and I'm very grateful for our farmers, but yes. No, thank you. Not for this girl.
Last question. Do you feel like you have a motto?
I think it would have to be, it all gets done. It all gets done. Even if it's not pretty or graceful, it all gets done.
Well, can you let our listeners know where they can find you? Blog, website?
Absolutely. I can be found on Instagram at ggrop. I can be found at eastidahomoms.com. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, TikTok, wherever else my young social media team has placed us. And I can be Googled, and I'm sure you'll find all sorts of really wholesome information on me there, because Google's a great place.
Well, thank you so much for sharing so much with us in such a short amount of time, and I definitely want you back when that book's done.
We'll see you in 9.5 years. Thank you, Melissa.
It's a deal. Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers and Tech, or email info@numbersandtech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.